The scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel according to Matthew. The first reading is from Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, and can be found on page 7 of the New Testament portion of your pew Bible. Jesus is speaking to the crowd in what is known as the Sermon on the Mount. In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you. For this is the law and the prophets. The second gospel reading comes from Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40, and may be found on page 25. Jesus is in the temple with his disciples, and he is responding to questions from the Pharisees, and this is occurring after he has made his triumphal journey into Jerusalem. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." May God bless the reading of his holy word.
Would you pray with me this morning? Thank you, God, for this incredibly important teaching that you've given to us this morning. Impress it upon our, not just our minds, but our hearts and our lives, that we would hear and we would do. In Christ's name, amen. As far as I'm concerned, there were two reality-shattering, life-changing events that happened in the summer of 1959. The first one, I was born. The second one, the Green Bay Packers hired a new head football coach named Vince Lombardi. Lombardi started his tenure as the Packers coach that summer. The Packers had been the perennial bottom dwellers in the National Football League for many, many years, and they brought in this new, young, brash coach who had been an assistant coach for the New York Giants. And that summer, he gathered his team together for the first time, and they gathered in the locker room. There was quite a bit of trepidation and curiosity about this coach who had the reputation for being very tough, very disciplined, very exacting. And in that context, Lombardi uttered one of the most famous speeches that has ever been spoken in the history of football. It was a five-word speech. He walked into the locker room. He had a pigskin in his hand. He walked up and down for quite a few minutes, looking these men in his eyes who were half his age and twice his size. And when everyone was transfixed, he took the ball and held it up. And he said, "Gentlemen, this is a football." That was it. "Gentlemen, this is a football." What Lombardi was doing in that dramatic moment was announcing to that team that they were going to get back to the basics of what it meant to play this sport. Now, these guys had been playing for years throughout their college, probably most of them throughout high school leading up to becoming a professional football player. But Lombardi was saying, "We're going to get back to the basics. We're going to talk about footwork. We're going to talk about blocking. We're going to talk about tackling. We're going to talk about the basic things that are necessary in order to be successful at this game. And that's what they did. And that's what happened. 2 years later, that team that had been in last place before he took over played for the championship of the National Football League against a team from Philadelphia. And they lost that game, the championship of 1960. That was the last time, by the way, the Eagles won the championship until this past season. But not the Packers. They went on to win 5 NFL championships in the next 7 years, becoming the greatest franchise in the history of the National Football League, a position they hold to this very day. Gentlemen, this is a football. Brothers and sisters, today we have been, this Lenten season, we've been talking about the commandments of Jesus, and today we get back to the basics. We go back to step one. These particular commandments of Jesus that we just heard read are the fundamental building blocks of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And if we don't get these right, all is lost. Now, let me be very clear. Living a Christian life is not easy. It is incredibly difficult. It's incredibly complicated. To take the teachings of God in Scripture and apply them to our day-to-day lives in the world in which you and I live, and to try to figure out, what do I do as a Christ follower now, as a husband, as a child, as a wife, as an employee? How do we live in a world where there's global warming, where there's the threat of nuclear annihilation? What do we do about the massive problems of homelessness and racism that continue to grip our country in their pincers? And, you know, it's to try to figure that out and make sense of this is not easy. This is hard stuff. But in order to get to those questions, we have to deal with the most fundamental questions first. And thank goodness we have a coach, a master, who boils the complicated down and makes it simple and clear in these particular teachings. The first one is commonly known as the Golden Rule. Has anyone ever heard the Golden Rule? Okay, we've heard that expression. It's incredibly difficult to find in the Bible. Most people have no idea where the Golden Rule is to be found. It's only found in one place. That's Matthew chapter 7. And in fact, you can be reading through that section called the Sermon on the Mount and completely miss it, blow right by it. It's sort of tucked in at the end of another teaching concerning prayer. And suddenly Jesus comes out with this profound saying, and we sort of slip on by, but we need to come back and listen to what it says. Jesus says, in everything, do to others as you would have them do to you. But it doesn't end with a period. It ends with a semicolon. And we have to pay attention to the next phrase. In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you, semicolon, for this is the law and the prophets. That one phrase for Jesus sums up the entire Bible, the entire teaching of Scripture. All the other stuff, all the other stories, all the other laws, all the other commandments, all the other prohibitions, all the other challenges, everything else that we find written in the Bible for Jesus is summed up in one phrase. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Treat other people the way you want to be treated. Jesus says, that is the law. That's what everything else is all about. If we don't get that, if we don't understand that, we can't make sense of anything else. That is the essence and the heart of what it means to be a spiritual person, of what it means to be a child of God, of what it means to be part of the kingdom, of what it means to be part of God's family. do to others as you would have them do to you. Now, Jesus didn't actually invent that saying. That we find it in other places in ancient literature, but not quite the same way that Jesus says it. There are other places in Greek literature that state a similar principle, but they state it in the negative. For instance, one place in ancient Greek literature written in 546 BC, avoid doing what you would blame others for doing. Or what you do not want to happen to you, do not do it yourself either. There are many places, in fact, in ancient literature where similar things are said. But that's not what Jesus says. He doesn't simply say, avoid doing things that you wouldn't want to have happen to you. Jesus phrases it in the positive. Do to others. Be proactive in how you treat other people. And as you do that, consider, how would you like to be treated if you were in their situation? It's a simple thing to say, isn't it? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Say it. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's so simple. But you know what? It is extremely difficult. That teaching is so powerfully difficult to actually inhabit in our behavior. For two basic reasons. The first thing, in order to do unto others as you would have them do unto you, we need to acknowledge that other people are actually people. Other people are actually people. That's a very difficult thing to do. Because we are so fundamentally selfish, even though we kind of know that, the way we live is sort of like, I'm the only real person and everybody else doesn't really count that much. We live life from our own selfish point of view, and it makes it very difficult to acknowledge that there are actually other people out there that have feelings, hopes, dreams, aspirations, just like me. It's very difficult for us to actually inhabit a world where other people matter. That's the whole movement behind the Black Lives Matter. That's the whole that people who have a different color skin actually matter. Gay lives matter. Old people matter. And that's a particular truth that's becoming more important to me lately. Grandparents matter. Really, we do. Children with disabilities matter. People who are taking care of aged parents who have dementia, whose lives have been radically altered because they're taking care of somebody who's sick every day, matter. All lives matter. And it's very hard for us to remember that. Because as we go through our day-to-day lives, there's only one life that really matters. Mine. I want the world to work for me. And so I compartmentalize other people, and I really don't think very much about what somebody else might be going through. But if we're going to live this, the first thing is other people have to matter. Have to matter as much as I do. We have to remember that we're all God's children, created by a loving, caring God. And so the concerns of other people who might be very different from me are just as important to God and therefore should be just as important to me. If we're going to live this out, the first thing is we have to get it in our head that everybody matters. Everybody. And then the second thing that makes this commandment so difficult to live is, first of all, people have to matter, then secondly, we have to use our imagination and try to imagine if we were that person, how would we want to be treated? It's very difficult to put yourself literally in the place of somebody else. To a certain extent, we can't. When somebody's going through something difficult, the worst thing often we can say is, I know what you're going through. Because the reality is, we don't know. Even if we've been through something similar, we really don't know what that other person's going through. But we need to at least try to understand, try to put ourselves in that person's place. And ask ourselves, if I were in that situation, how would I want to be treated? What is it like to just be pulled over by a policeman for a routine stop because of the color of my skin? How would I like to be treated? How about if I were in that place? What's it like to have a different sexual orientation in a society where most people don't share that same orientation? How would I want to be treated if that was my lot? How would I want to be treated if I were living in an assisted living? How would I want to be treated if I had just moved to the new community? How would I want to be treated if I was the new kid at school? It's very hard to put ourselves in someone else's position, but that's what this commandment says. Not only do other people matter, but we're going to think about what their experience is, try to put ourselves in that place, and then treat them the way we would want to be treated if we were them. And Jesus said, that's what it's all about. That's the very center of all this scripture is about. And if you don't understand that and you can't do that, don't even bother with the rest. That's the basics. That's fundamental. That's central. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And then he goes on and he kind of spells it out a little more in this other teaching that's very connected to it that we call the Great Commandment. The Great Commandment. Jesus' quiz, what's the greatest commandment? And he gives a Sunday school answer, the answer that every Jewish person knows. They've learned it from the beginning. It's from Deuteronomy chapter 6. It's called the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That is the great commandment. Everyone claps. Jesus, you're a good rabbi. And they get ready, and he goes, semicolon. Everybody come back in. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Where do we hear that? The golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Jesus says that is as important as loving God. In fact, that's the way we know that we love God, is by the way we treat other people. And then he says, on those two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Remember, the golden rule is that is the law and the prophets. This is the superstructure. Everything else is subservient. Everything else comes underneath of those two things. Jesus says, that is the basics. That is the center. That is the structure, the foundation. Everything else hangs on that. Everything else is underneath of that. And we have to get this right, friends. As a church, we have to get this right. Right. We must love everybody and treat everybody with the respect and kindness that you and I want to be treated with by everybody else. That is the fundamental teaching of our Lord and our Master. That is the center of what it means to be a Christ follower. And if the church doesn't get this right, then all is lost. We must practice what we preach. Lord, we thank you so much for this clear and central calling, and we ask forgiveness, God, for any time that we, as your followers, have demeaned somebody, left somebody out, put somebody down, made fun of others, lumped people in categories, or just casually gone about our day-to-day business when there were people right next to us who were hurting and we didn't stop and do anything about it. Oh God, the church needs forgiveness. You've taught us clearly and we have deaf ears. Lord, awaken us, remind us, bring us back to the basics. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.